The Bible is falling.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Bible is Funny podcast, where we talk about the funniest parts of the Bible and what we can learn from them. This is Anthony Russo coming to you guys, as usual, from my house. But I am not alone on this particular episode of the Bible is Funny podcast. I am joined by two friends at the same time. Everyone listening to this podcast, you are a part of history. We have never had two guests on at the same time. But much like Captain Planet, where all powers combine to make one singular Captain Planet, these two combine their powers to become something you may or may not know as Memes for Jesus. Memes for Jesus, an absolute internet legend among our midst today on the Bible is Funny podcast, and it's an honor to have them. Fellas, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful intro, and Matt's finger was up his nose for most of it.
I was trying to get you to break.
Yeah, I was like staring at you. You got me to break. Because I tried doing it too, and then I lost.
I was just sitting here like this with my finger like right up my nose, and I was trying to stare.
It was in and, like, there, cast and he had vibes. His nostrils going and everything.
Yeah, I was casting vibes.
Very disturbing.
Trying to get you to break, and it didn't work. You're rock solid, dude.
Very thankful for you guys talking everyone through that, because being a podcast, they would have never seen what was going on.
Oh, we're professionals.
But now they're
try
in
to help
the
people
loop.
Envision Matt with his finger lodged up his nostril.
That
it
is
was
Matt.
The right nostril, to be specific. So
we have Matt and we have Michael.
Matt and Michael.
Together.
Michael and Matt.
Yeah, that's fine. Michael and Matt's fine.
Michael and Matt's
fair.
You guys are memes for Jesus. This is the real, like, so many people will say to me, oh my word, Memes for Jesus shared one of your posts. Did you see that? Memes for Jesus shared one of your posts. They're the best. Do you guys know how often that happens to me?
I'd say like every time we share something that you posted.
I was about to say, is he trying to tell us something here? Because I don't feel like we've shared one of his posts in quite some time.
I mean,
I'm like, oh, shoot. This is like the most.
You could probably get a message about it in like an hour or so here. Who knows? It's possible.
This is the...
The most subliminal shade. The most subliminal shade.
I was 100% not.
Motherly guilt trip. You guys haven't shared my bills for a while.
Do you remember the last time you called me? I noticed on your Facebooks that you're going to the coffee shops, but it's just weird I don't get a call.
Yeah, it was like, it was so motherly, dude. It was like, oh man, people tell me every time you're over how much they love when you visit me, you know? Like, whenever you visit me, people just always compliment me. They love to see you at my house. Like, okay, Mom, I get it.
It's, oh, dude. Well, yeah, I would just blow past that. So share more of my posts. But you guys are great. And you're like for real famous people. You're famous people because of your internet superior, how good you guys are at making memes. Is that
Mike's famous? I'm trying to like kind of be just visible, and people don't even know I exist. But Mike is literally a meme. He's the famous guy.
That's
he's
right.
I have talent. Been a meme. I have.
It's that's true. Right.
There's so, been a, yeah. a popular one of me going around.
Is that the
too.
One with you in the trash?
Where with your the hands trash are... can? Yeah. There's been a new one that's been going around that I've been having my friends send me a lot lately.
Is that and you that's... in a VeggieTales hat?
No, someone did that recently too, but it's another trash meme, like with that template that just went viral recently.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. So Memes for Jesus started with just you, Michael. Is that right?
Yes. I started the page on my own, like my senior year of high school. And then I had a bunch of random friends from church that I also had as like admins at the time. And then like after high school, after, like 6 months or so, I was like, these guys aren't doing anything. I took them all off the page. I'm still friends with the guys and stuff, but it was just like, no, this is my thing. I'm going to be selfish a little bit. But then ever since then, I was kind of like more selective with like who had access to it and stuff. And for a few years, it was a couple of my friends from ministry school. And then after ministry school, I had a buddy named Nathan in Chicago who would always submit memes, and I would post a lot of his stuff. And I was one day I just said, "Hey, why don't you join me?" And he was with me for 2 or 3 years. And then after that, he got married and wasn't making memes anymore. So I kind of like swapped him out for Matt to kind of get a little bit more diversity, so that it wouldn't be just
I was
two
a diversity hire.
He was the diversity hire. No shame. No shame. And Matt's been with Memes for Jesus for, what, two, three years now?
At least since
2017?
2017, I think.
Yeah.
I was like late 2017 I came
on. Yeah. So about 3 years now.
Yeah.
So, okay, so many follow-up questions. The one I'm going to do that's more towards the front of my head. Anybody who has an account like yours, you deal with the submissions that you get from other people. What are your general feelings towards the submission? Somebody sends you and says, I made this really funny meme. Will you please post it?
We rarely, like very rarely, will post a submission from someone. Most of the time, Matt and I are just like, we're focused on making our own memes, and we like to keep our content more in-house, unless it's like another meme page that we're friends with, you know.
Meme Illuminati.
Meme Illuminati. So that's why we're always like sharing other meme pages that we have like good relationships with and stuff. But for the majority, we keep it in-house. Every once in a while, we'll get a submission that will like just knock us off our feet, and we love it, and we're like just making sure like that the person who sent it in is the one that made it, so that we don't accidentally credit them when they weren't the ones that made it and stuff like that. So I'd say like maybe once, twice a month, if people are lucky, we'll post submissions. But it's very rare.
Usually there's like the same exact meme that people are like, "Oh, have you posted this yet? Have you posted?" And it's usually like really, really stupid, but you know it's going to do really, really good.
Or it's one of our own memes.
Have you seen this meme? And it's literally our watermark on it. We made back in like 2017.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, I jumped around. I'm sorry. That question just is, because it is such a funny relationship that you have with the submissions. You love that you're, to me, there's like a part of you that's like, oh, my audience is like involved and they want to play along and that's fun. But then other times you're like, oh, I don't know how to respond to this.
Sometimes it's just like a thumbs up or like you just like the, you know, the post. You just like do the little heart and that's it. Or I'll just say LOL or give him just like a little sunglasses.
Right.
Just a little,
that's all you get.
Petty laugh, you know, just
petty, you know. Well, I mean, reaction. And I mean, it's not like we want to be petty. It's like,
oh,
you know,
pity.
Hey, I recognize.
Pity,
oh,
not
pity,
petty.
Pity. Sorry, my fault. That's another guy. We'll have to talk to him about him later. But yeah, like we just want to recognize, you know, I acknowledge that you submitted this.
Yeah, right.
And have a nice day.
Yeah.
Thank you,
so,
Max.
3 years ago, Matt, you come on. Like, so how did you guys know each other before that? How did that all come about?
So I was a minister in the Assemblies of God Trailer Park Circle that everybody knows each other in.
I just renewed my credentials today.
Yeah, good job, Mike.
Thanks.
Vomit. So, okay. I mean, I say that, you know, with all love and due respect. But yeah, I parted ways with the Assemblies of God as of now. But I mean, like nowadays, but like back in the day, I was an Assemblies of God minister, associate pastor at a church. And, you know, when you're Assemblies of God, you basically know everybody. And one of the kids in my youth group was in the same ministry school that Michael went to. And when I started a young adults group, when everybody got older, Michael just joined that friend. And then I was like, oh, shoot, you're Memes for Jesus. And I could like kind of geeked out a little bit. I was like, oh, and
it was a little weird.
You know, it was weird. But and then I just would not stop sending him memes. Like every day I was sending him memes. And of course, you know, being the meme god that I am, you know, he used every single one of them. No, but like, yeah. No, eventually, like, he would use like a couple of them. And then one day he popped the question and now we're
married.
Oh. Where it didn't work.
Well, that's cool. I only put it that way because so we're basically, I like to joke that we are basically the Great Value version of Shama and PD, because they're so much funnier than we are. And and we acknowledge that. But, you know, it's you know, we have a brown guy and we have a white guy working together, making content. And we're basically, you know, doing our thing. And he said, yeah, you know, PD basically popped the question to Shama one day and then, you know, the rest is history.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing where we kind of, you know, just work together daily. We meme together daily and actually we work together. I'm actually Mike's boss in real life, IRL. And yeah, and then we meme together and he's my boss. So
is that, that's real? Where do you guys work in real life?
So I'd rather not say, but we work in social work.
Okay.
I only say that because we've said where we work and then people have like called.
Oh, I gotcha. Work,
so I don't want to do that. But, and you know, once you air this.
Blaming racist, apparently.
Dude, can we talk about that real quick?
We talk about that? This is
his podcast. I got to be careful. But, so, you know, we have our own store. We have memesforjesus.com. We have our own merch.
Yeah.
And some of our stuff has slang on it. Like we have a shirt that says
modern Gen Z lingo.
Yeah.
Right.
One says, bae ain't bae if bae don't pray. And we have other stuff like, you know, God is dope or, you know, stuff like that. Harmless, I believe.
Salty and lit.
Salty and lit.
Yeah.
But apparently these terms are... oh my gosh, what's the term when you take from someone's culture?
Appropriation.
Apparently these terms are appropriation according to some people. And they called our place of work and said these people are using appropriated terms.
I'm not allowed to say lit.
Yeah, apparently because we sell these, it's some type I'm of
stealing
cultural appropriation
from black communities, African American communities.
Yeah,
and this person called your place of work and said, "I have to tell you guys something."
Use my name and everything, and so Matt gets like a whole bunch of alerts on his work phone and email and everything from like head honcho,
the CEO
of the company, and I was like, "Ha ha, great! way to make a name for myself and the company! Yay!"
Yeah.
And so then you walk into like a big boardroom that's all very serious, and then they take out of a box a sweatshirt that says, "Bae ain't bae if bae don't pray." And they say, "Explain yourself.
Explain this. Cultural appropriation.
Do you know what this means?
Do you have any idea what you've done?"
I can't believe you've done this.
Oh my god, dude.
Michael, somebody just showed me that video for the first time and I wept.
Yes.
I don't know if I can like support that video because there's language in it on the podcast, but I wept, Michael. I couldn't stop laughing. I
just love the thwack. It's just like when he punches him in the face, it's like,
yes.
You've done this.
Legendary. Man,
but yeah, sorry we took you on a little ride there, but that's that was the answer to that question.
No, it's so good. There's so many things I want to talk about. There's one thing I want to point out to listeners about Memes for Jesus, obviously, is if you inundate them with submissions, there's a chance you get to join the team, because this is how two people got on the squad. So just send all of your submissions to Meme for Jesus like a fire hose, and there, you know, there's a chance. There's always a chance. Secondly, Matt, to something you said, I think this is so funny. This is going to be my little rabbit trail. The name of these, like, what's the word? Like the Christian
memes.
No, Christian like break like Assemblies of God is a denomination. The name of these denominations always makes me laugh, Matt, because like you just said, I left the Assemblies of God. You know what I mean? And like somebody or somebody I've heard before, we did a video about this for Isaac, but it just, is your church a church of God? And you're like, I mean, I think so. Don't we have to say yes? How did somebody out there claim, no, we are the churches of God. We are the church of God over here. I don't know what you guys are doing.
Yeah. I'm waiting for one of them to just go for it and just capitalize every single letter of the word the. So it's the church of God. And so they just really just lean into it.
The church of God.
This is it.
Or maybe they start going the way of like Instagram handles and it's like the real church of God.
The real church of God official.
Church
of God official. That's it. With a blue check on their like signage, a blue verified check.
Is the Pope verified? Pretty sure he's verified.
Pretty sure he's verified.
Dang it, man!
Are you guys? You guys aren't verified?
No,
dude,
not yet. Crossing them fingers.
I just got a message from this guy who said if I pay him some money, he can get me verified. So I'm feeling good about my chances. You brought up some couple of things that I wanted to get into. So you guys, one thing that you do, well, let me start here. Have either of you made a meme that you loved and the other like very either said, I don't want it on the page or like just didn't like it as much as you did?
Daily.
Go ahead, Mike. Now's the time, Mike.
Daily. This happens. And it's a good thing. It just took me a long time to get used to, because I like making things for myself, and I don't like people critiquing them. So Matt and I started doing this thing where we both have to agree upon a meme for it to be posted on the page. So whether that means...
You have to come to an agreement?
Agreement. So whether that means just trashing the whole thing in general because it's just a garbage template and it's not going to work for anything, or changing wording of it or changing the entire concept of the thing, we have to both agree with it. And we have seen like a significant increase in like the number of likes and reactions that posts have gotten since we both agreed to do that and like kind of hold each other to like a higher standard in the content that we create.
Hmm.
Yep. It's we just started that pretty recently,
like,
actually.
Like
and
2 months ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's great because we both have separate brains. Like we're both very different people, but we both share love for memes. And so, but we both put our perspective on it. We usually, you know, like if we both like it, it has a much higher chance of everyone liking it more. That's the way, I guess that's the philosophy
we've
approached.
If Matt's wife likes it, we know that it's going to kill.
She is the tiebreaker. So my wife is a Caucasian female, which is all of our target audiences. Like every meme page, your target audience is my wife. She's a young white girl. So when she sees the meme and she'll go, I'm like, nope, we're not posting it.
Right.
But if she sees the meme, she goes, haha. I'm like, yep, do it now. Post it.
Right.
And so she is definitely our tiebreaker and like our, I'll say that she's the one who has the end thing. But you know what? We got a little extra somebody here on the team now, possibly. Michael, what do you think? Someone?
What?
We could possibly...
I'm not hiring someone else, Matt. I'm not distributing money to someone other than you. That's not happening.
Yay. Psst, Mike has Matt, a girlfriend.
Yeah, Matt's referring to my girlfriend.
Michael has a girlfriend. I didn't know. I wanted to be sensitive here, Michael. I was not going to bring this up, but I'm very glad that Matt did.
Well, Matt just...
did she enter the relationship knowing the meme situation?
She did, actually. And she has a screenshot on her phone of a tweet that I posted like 3 years ago that she took a screenshot of last year, and like a week or two ago she was going through her phone and she saw it and she was like, "Hey, look, that's you."
Oh my
gosh. Picture of my face on it. But she had been following Memes for Jesus for a few years, and her best friend would like share them back and forth to each other. But she had no idea who I was.
Right.
You know, until like we started talking about it and like we added each other on social media.
And then, well, how did that like, start?
Oh, Christian dating app.
Yeah, the one paid
that,
sponsor.
The one that recently paid us to promote them. I had been on the app for a couple of months. And yeah, and we matched about a month and a half ago. So, yeah.
Man. Yeah. I'm very happy for you, first of all. I think there is a, I speak for the meme Illuminati, the meme community, when we were all pulling for you. To find this person, so we're all very excited. What it's the best way to ring in the holidays, really, is that you now have a girlfriend. It's a gift to all of us in some ways.
No one was wanting this more than me because Mike is literally the most single person I've ever met.
No, I am not.
Not anymore. But like, there were days I'm like, dude, could you get any more single? Like. Good Lord, the Bionicles in the room, the comic books, the toys everywhere.
Bionicles. The Bionicles. And wasn't
it... You hate them because you weigh them.
Don't you have a bunch of Funko Pop figures?
Yeah,
is that a thing
most
I remember?
Most of them are in boxes.
Okay.
I have some Star Wars ones out. But
progress.
Most of them are in boxes. Also, two of my Star Wars pops recently like tripled in value. Thank you, Mandalorian, for that. But that's not relevant. Unless you want to buy them and you're listening to this. I have an Ahsoka Tano pop with white lightsabers and a Grand Admiral Thrawn pop. Hit me up. I'll give you a good deal.
I was okay with every rabbit trail you dragged my podcast through until right now. Now it feels
this interview is over.
Dirty and cheap. You sell your Funko Pops.
Dude, we've been forcing
else.
So many plugs this whole time. And now he's like, this is it. This is where
I'm
draw
just
the line.
Going with him, man.
Selling his pops on your. How low can we get?
You go on the Taco Boys podcast and you sell your Funko Pops.
Dude, we're the cheapest salesman ever.
Michael, have you consulted then your girlfriend on a meme? Have you gotten an opinion from her yet?
No.
They haven't progressed to that level of a relationship yet.
Matt's opinion still means more to me on the memes.
Forever.
Forever. Biffles. Biffles.
Biffles. Okay, well, I let you guys get away from this for a little, but I do want to go back. So I want to hear about a meme, a joke in particular, that one of you was like, this is good, I like this. And then the other one said... it's not going to fly. Is there one? I guess I should ask, is there one that you can remember enough that would stick out when I ask that question?
There's one I can think of. And Mike, I know you'll remember it immediately.
Was
and
it one of mine or one of yours?
It was one of yours that you made.
Okay.
And, so I have like three in my mind right now. And they're all like semi inappropriate, like subliminally.
Oh, well.
There's one. Okay, so one of them, like, I'll just do the most recent one with the dog. There was a video of a dog jumping over a hurdle.
Okay.
And then the other one,
that
the dog
wasn't like
already defending himself.
That was accidental. No.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Me and Matt both reviewed it and we were both fine with it. And then we realized that there was. Foul language in the audio.
Yeah, so there was some cuss words. And then there's another one where I don't even want to explain it too much because it could be taken that graphically.
What did I do?
The cheese stick one, dude, with the girl.
That.
That's all I'm going to say. It just had really, really weird imagery. And I was like, Michael, no. And I zoomed into it. I was like, just look at this.
It was not intentional.
I know. It was just so innocent. I was just like, Mike, no.
I hate that everybody listening right now couldn't see Michael's face just now. Because it was perfect.
That's all I'm gonna say.
It was absolutely perfect.
That one was a long time ago.
Yeah, that one just like it just comes into my brain like once a month, and I'm like, wow, I can't imagine posting that. If we would have, we definitely dodged the bullet with that one. Okay, but anyways.
Well, so what we do here on the Bible's Funny Podcast is we talk about funny parts of the Bible, which leads me to this question. I want to ask you guys, what do you feel like there is a Bible story or a Bible passage that has inspired the most memes for you guys? Because it's pretty regular that you, I don't want to say pretty regular, I don't want to put a number on it, but not uncommon for you guys to post a meme that is connected to a Bible story. So I didn't know if there was one in particular that you were like, oh, That one really brings out a lot of memes in me.
The one we've been doing a lot lately is Saul getting bit by a snake.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Because for some reason, there's just a big controversy on whether or not he was bit or not.
Very bizarre sect of Christians that think that the snake just cuddled his hand and that Paul threw it in the fire because it cuddled his hand.
That's real.
Like, you know, if a snake's coming up and he's just vibing and he's just cuddling, you know, like, hey, man, you do you. But, like, you know, I'm not going to throw you in the fire for that. If you bite me, you're going in. Like, you know.
A lot of people will exegete the passage and say that they believe the people of there believed that he may have bitten him because he was on his person. But they're saying that the real miracle is that the snake did not bite him, even though it was on him, and he shook it into the fire. And I'm like, I don't know, the passage, you can certainly read that into the passage and it like not necessarily change anything foundational, but at the same time, why?
It's like a whole different level of cessationism.
I think, that might be a motivation, is that they're so cessationist that they'd prefer that God did not cause the venom, you know, did not cause the snake to bite him so that there would not be an actual physiological miracle happening. I don't know. But it's just been such a source of triggering, and so we make more memes for it.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, remember when Paul got bit by a snake and people were like, nah?
I think I saw a meme you guys did with that recently, actually. It was like the Paul gets bit by a snake and then, oh, well, anyways. Was that one of those templates?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, wow, that is fascinating. I do love that passage. I think that passage, there's these like, there's these little adventures of Paul that I think there's a lot of them we talk a lot about, and then there's some that I feel like we don't talk about very much, so that's a really interesting one. It does that read offhand to me almost, I think you were making a joke about it, Michael, but it almost makes Paul out to be the bad guy in the story. Like, the snake just is like, minding its own business and ends up thrown into a fire. This becomes like a PETA problem at this point. Like, Paul, you can't just go around throwing snakes into fires. That's
man,
not okay at all.
That's a great meme, dude. That right there is a great meme.
That's fascinating. Oh, is there any other, so that's a good one. I don't know if there was any other, I was going through, I think I saw you guys had done some Solomon. Yeah, just based on the character of Solomon, not so much any stories in particular, but I didn't know if there was any any other stories.
Laughing
that
at Petey's dad.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's a whole nother subject. But
what,
like,
happened to Petey's dad?
No, so we posted that Solomon meme today, and Petey Bachman's dad is a savage, and he's just on that meme on Facebook just tearing people up. And it's hilarious. And then he's like, I'm 58 years old, and my son does a podcast called Church Stories. I don't give a crap. I'm like, dude, this guy's awesome. I texted Petey, and I was like, dude, your dad is going in on our page for no reason. And he's just, like, at the one guy, he just said something. He called Solomon a simpanzee. He said Solomon is the most blue-pilled beta simpanzee in the history of the Bible. You know what a simp is, Anthony? Do you know what a simp is?
Yes.
Okay, so he called him a simpanzee, which is hilarious. And then somebody rebutted that with something funny, and he's like, oh, did you choose today to be the meme theologian or something like that? Dude, he's just wrecking stuff. And so, yeah. But anyways, back to your question.
Fantastic.
The story, the person of Solomon is hilarious. He is a meme in himself. The meme that Anthony's referring to is, it says, no one. And it says, Solomon after his 389th wedding, and it's the picture of Kylo Ren with Solomon's crown on him saying, "More! More!" So obviously, you know,
it's
lots of weddings.
One of my favorite templates. That template makes me laugh. There's a couple that I'm like just a sucker for. That's one of them. And the Leonardo DiCaprio, like.
Yeah. Wait, I'll do
which
it.
Which one? There's a lot.
That one.
That one.
Yeah.
Holding the cup I don't even need the top of that meme, and I'm done.
Yep. It's all good.
Oh, that's so great.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the comments, because I wanted to ask a little bit about that. You guys are, you're way more, as you may, if you're a fan of the Bible, it's funny, you're following along, you follow along on Instagram, it will be no shock to you that I am less fun in the comments than Memes from Jesus is. You guys do not shy away from controversial topics. So I'm just curious.
What controversial topics? We don't post controversial things.
The Mandalorian one you just did was just honestly,
dude.
Like,
I made that today, and we immediately sent it to Matt, and Matt's like, no, wait, I want to see the comments. Yes.
that's how it went. That's exactly how it went. Dude,
it's literally
it's so good,
a truck
it's just
in
scripture.
A nitroglycerin factory.
It is, and it's because in the best part. It's just a passage of scripture. It's just an illumination of a passage of scripture.
Right.
And that's it. Like, we almost pulled a page out of your book, but like in more like, you know, imagery.
Yeah. No, I actually thought that when I saw it.
And dude, people went nuts. Do you want us to elaborate that, or would you rather keep your podcast rated G?
I think we've
already hit
PG.
I don't need you to elaborate that meme, but I'm more interested
in figure out what the cheese stick meme was.
Oh my gosh, Michael. That was dead and buried, Michael. Yeah, we were past it.
Resurrected after 13 minutes.
Thanks, Michael.
Legitimately.
I'm sorry, Anthony.
It is really, though, something that's going to haunt a lot of people. The one with the girl and the cheese stick.
Yeah, dude, no.
When you guys write your memoir, that's what I want it to be called. The one with the girl and the cheese stick.
No.
So I'm less interested in that. I'm more interested in this because... By personality, I'm pretty conflict averse. I don't think I talked with you guys about this on your podcast or anything. So by nature, what we do is sometimes tough because you can't avoid it entirely. But I'm always so like eyes wide with accounts like yours and how you guys run it, and you just like lean into it. So do you delete comments? What are your thoughts? Where's like the line for you on what you'll allow in the comments versus when you feel like you need to like intervene, maybe shut stuff down, or like what's your thoughts on the comments of the internet?
I feel like lately we've been letting stuff go a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the because we're just greedy for engagement lately.
Yeah.
We don't care. And other guys like Epic, dude, he has a massive page.
Yeah.
And he just puts we could not get away with some of the stuff he posts. Like, he is wild. Like, he really does, like, the most controversial stuff. We will do controversial things, but for some reason, I know half of the stuff that we do is still kind of, like, just below the edge.
Yeah.
Where his stuff, it's like, whoa, dude. Like, I can't believe you. And he'll gain followers. Like, he's just a beast. So... I think we know our limits, but at the same time, I think, you know, we're kind of just stretch a bit. And so, you know, there have been some comments with the cuss words and the, you know, blaspheming of God. We'll restrict them mm-hmm. more than block them. And just today on the meme that you were referring to, we got a lot of PMs in our, you know, inbox talking about how you guys, you know, F you, this, that, and this, you know, blank, blankety, blank. And, I responded as gently as I possibly could, and like 99% of them were actually like, oh, but, you know, okay, sorry, I didn't mean to be, you know, go crazy on you. And it was great. So I think that, you know, we're taking that approach, and there's other, I'm doing a lot of name drops because, you know, this is the meme Illuminati, this is what we do.
Yeah,
but Christians who curse sometimes, like, he is all for that. And if anything, I've learned from him that bringing up controversial subjects is not a bad thing. Because it gets people talking.
Yeah.
And he's a master at that. Mm-hmm. And so he'll say, I love getting those DMs when people are mad and going crazy in your DMs because that gets the conversation going.
Right.
And as Christians, if anything, we should be in, we should be talking to people. It should be like a trait, a muscle that we have and that we are very good
sure.
at. So that's kind of been my personal philosophy. And I think, I haven't really expressed it in that much amount of detail to Mike, but I think we're kind of on the same page. What do you think, Mike?
Yeah.
I thought that was
I do that to him all the time. I just like alley-oop it and he's like,
You say everything. He's never ready. Said. I've gotten into the habit of like trying to not read the comments. until they've been up for a while and a lot of people have replied to them. Because then I feel like I don't have to. But Matt does a lot of like the responses to the messages and stuff.
Okay.
I just make the memes really. I don't do a whole lot of comment engagement. Every once in a while I will, but I try to just kind of let the conversation flow. And if I see something going on that's inappropriate, or if I see someone that's literally just going after like the person or the humanity of another individual in the comments, I'm like, yeah, we're not doing that. Like,
right.
you're not even attacking like this concept of whether or not this is a sin. You're literally just going after this person and this individual who is, you know, still created in the image of God. And we're not going to allow that kind of behavior to happen. You can debate and argue theology and what's right and wrong all day, but you're not going to be attacking an individual.
Right.
Yeah. We rarely ban people anymore, I don't think.
Yeah. Like, I used to ban people left and right when I first started the page.
I actually remember that.
Gone. I was like, you said the frick word. Well, I mean, some people, I'll still.
Yeah, I have to slap Michael's hand sometimes. I'm like, just leave him alone. Because our followers are awesome. Yeah. Like,
if they're
like Mike
going
said.
Insane. With the profanity, I'm like, dude, you need to chill. But most of, like, on Instagram, they added restricting people on comments, which has been super nice because they can still comment and they have no idea that they're restricted.
Right.
And no one else can see their comments, which is
right.
Nice.
And like Michael said, our followers are amazing. Like, they will take care of it for us.
Yeah.
Right.
That's awesome.
No, I love that. I that's why I'm so curious to hear how you guys were doing that, because it's like, They'll step in and there'll be really positive interactions even that will come out of it. And I definitely am on the page of like, I want to not have to get involved. And then if you have to, I guess you kind of then you have to step in. But that was one of the, so many things that makes me think of. I love that, you know, you get these DMs from people and they're like really aggressive and they're really like screaming at you and they're like condemning you. I think you actually shared one in our like little group chat we have going today about like how, and you, is that the one you sent the voice message back to, Matt?
Yeah.
It was just, it was like incredibly aggressive, like an incredibly aggressive. Do you think it's lost on people that there are human beings on the other end of the account?
You mean the people that are DMing us?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mike.
I think that's just an issue with social media in general. Like, if you see people in comment sections or you see screenshots of DMs, and it gives off that vibe that people aren't even like remembering that they're talking to another human being.
Right.
And they're being so aggressive in their language and stuff. And it's super prideful. And it's super self-satisfying that they're trying to do is make themselves feel better about, you know, whether they have the right belief or not, and they're trying to take down another person by doing so.
But yeah, like I said earlier, like when I have a gift to deflect negative energy, just working in social work and working with juvenile probation and just, you know, just dealing with crazy people all day. I'm able to recognize, and I think it's easier too when you realize the person you're talking to is not a Christian. And they don't have the grace of God in their hearts.
When they are Christians, then it becomes hard.
That's when we really uncork on them. It's like, okay, buddy, you're trying to... That's when the Jimmy Wrestler comes out. Supreme Jimmy Wrestler Matt comes out. And I just meme him to death. But no, the one that I shared, it, like that was the FUs and you guys suck and all this other stuff. There was like 15 messages in a row. And I just sent a voice message, and I tried to keep my voice as gentle as possible. I was like, hey, you know what? Thanks so much for sending that. Honestly, we went back and forth on whether or not we wanted to share it. But at the end of the day, you know, we just wanted to use it to present the gospel because, you know, even though that scripture says this, it also says this, and we have forgiveness in Christ. And that was basically how I left it. And they were like, oh, wow, so kind of you. Forgive me for going off. And it was like the most beautiful thing ever. And I was like, oh, awesome. So cute. You were so mean, but now you're nice.
But I even love
first
that you...
First they're sour, then they're sweet. Sour Patch Kids.
I love, but I love even that you sent the voice message. One, I've never met someone who uses voice messages as much as Matt does in my whole life, personal or internet friends. Otherwise, Matt is the voice message king. But it even like it, to me, it's even more humanizing because it's even like look, this is me. I'm a human being. These aren't just like letters that show up on your screen from some sort of bot on the other end. Like there's a person that's on the other end of these things. Which really leads to my kind of culminating question. But one thing I wanted to ask you guys, because we're coming out of the season we're coming out of in so many ways, coming out of 2020, and being sitting in the seats you guys sit in, what would you say, how can Christians behave better on the internet is my question. How can we...
Shut up.
Shut up. How's that song go? Shut up. Wow. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, that's actually a quite profound answer there, Michael. Because I think a lot of times people don't know when to keep scrolling, especially on Facebook, because it's more of like a medium where people can engage in long-form discussion.
It's an echo chamber.
Yeah.
And if something pops up in your feed that isn't like a typical standard for your echo chamber, you feel the need to...
Right.
Input your echo chamber into that echo chamber.
It's true. I remember when I was a youth pastor, sometimes I would see kids in my youth group post stuff. Like they would leave the youth group and then leave the church and then leave Christianity. And I would see them post stuff bashing the church, bashing Christianity. And I would just want to jump in and just say, hey, wait a minute. You know, not all Christians are like this. God is good. And, you know, trying to like
fight
for God. But what I found is those conversations were never helpful, no matter how much scripture or no matter how much grace I gave them. The Facebook online discussions or, you know, whatever it be, DMs, comments, they don't always go the way you want them to because you can't always hear, you know, the tone. You can't see so much of our communication comes from our, you know, our physical movements and our inflections and the tone of our voices. And that's another reason why I send voice messages so much, because I know the stuff that I'm about. When I feel like what I'm about to type is going to come off super, like, you know, cagey, I'm like, let me just let people hear me. And that's why I sent that girl a voice message, because I was like, I want her to hear my heart right now rather than, you know, just type a bunch of words and that get misconstrued.
Right.
Another thing is you can't screenshot a voice message. So I can say whatever I want and you can't share it for the most part. Oh, not on Instagram. I think you can on Facebook, on Messenger. So it's good to know, I think.
Great emotionally sensitive answer that just got ruined by your appendix at the end
of
it.
I know.
No, you can do tone and human communications is all right.
And also, guys.
Also, no receipts. Am I right?
Cover that butt.
So I guess my follow-up question to that then is, I think you're totally right, and I love all that. One thing I'll hear from my friends, because they know I live on the internet. By the way, I don't know if you guys ever get this, but I'll have friends sometimes that are like, I'm taking a month-long fast from social media, and I'm always like, that's great. I'm never going to take a month-long fast from social media. I don't know how to even respond when people say that to me. That's neither here nor there. You guys don't have to respond to that. It's just a funny thing. I always, every time I get it, I think I'm done on social media. I'll get that one sometimes. And I'm like, I mean, I kind of get it, but I can't join you. I'm too far this other direction. So if you're on social media, you're on the internet, and you have your belief system, and you want to engage, because that's what I've had friends, I don't want to talk about politics, but coming out of the political season, I'll have friends that are like, I don't want to feel like I can't express myself, but I'm trying to figure out how to express myself in the best way. And that is really what, when I was thinking about talking with you guys today, I was thinking, you know, they have such an interesting perspective because you guys are creating content, but then also you're seeing all these expressions every single time you post. You guys, there's so many, seeing how people are expressing, how people are communicating, when it's effective, maybe when it's not effective. So any thoughts on how I have something, I want to share it on the internet. We don't need another Christian meme page. How do they do it?
Matt, that's all you.
Like, so if I can just clarify the question. So when, if somebody wants to share something online, you're mm-hmm. asking, how would they do it in a way that's Christian? Is that what you're asking? Sorry.
Yeah, just like any sort of tips for that person. I just remember okay. specifically seeing a couple comments like, I feel like I can't stay quiet on something, but I want to engage it in the right way. Yeah. As internet meme lords, what are your tips for that person?
Well, if I think some people try and force memes, like it takes a long time to make a good meme. I think now that we're finding with our new process, like it takes a lot, long process sometimes. So sometimes when people try and create meme pages, it just, you know, doesn't work and they try and force it. So don't do that. That's one option. Is not doing that. As far as like sharing an opinion online, I think you can do it in a I think you can do it in a God-honoring way, so that you don't necessarily, like, I think you just have to keep in mind, like, attack ideas and don't attack people. Because then when, if somebody feels like they're being personally attacked, then you know, that's when it would be a bad idea. And I think that's why certain subjects are just difficult. You just shouldn't share about them, or you should, you know, handle them extremely lightly. Like, for instance, topics like vaccines, you know, a very prominent issue right now with COVID and everything. You know, I don't think we're going to ever make an anti-vax meme, you know what I mean? Or a pro-vax meme, or, you know.
You've come definitely to think made of it. One before.
What, did we do one?
You've made one before.
Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I'm wild.
I can't remember what it was, but I definitely know that you've made one before.
Shoot. Well, now, yeah. I guess now, yeah, I think it just takes some
right
learning.
Right now would be a worse time.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that'd be... Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, too. Like, I was talking about Epic. He makes these memes about masks, and... You know, we kind of like flirted with mask memes a little bit.
Yeah.
And people got so, so upset.
Right.
Because just America right now, it's just, you know, whew. But you know what I mean? And he can get away with it. But I think just certain subjects, you got to know what you're, you know, go into it. If you're going to bring up a subject, be willing to face people that that have different perspectives than you,
yeah.
That are going to debate you, that are going to hate you. You know, be ready for that. Don't be surprised when somebody comes on there like, well, burr, 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 and then, you know, completely disagrees with everything you said. So, I mean, that's what it is. I think a lot of the memes that are controversial that we post, we are prepared to deal with the backlash.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one thing that helps going into it.
It's usually the memes that we post that we don't think will have backlash.
Oh, yeah.
That we get upset when there's backlash because we're like...
Right.
Like the first time we posted about Paul and the snake, we were like...
Yeah, right.
What is going on? What, I didn't know that this group of people existed. Where
didn't
did they come
them.
From?
Didn't bite them.
Yeah,
anti-bite.
First church of snake cuddling.
I'll never forget that's such a real experience. I did a Halloween one, and I was not aware of the throngs of people that are anti-Halloween. it was like a joke about. I mean, you guys know my page, so I like do verses, and it was like something about the Israelites leaving Egypt, and they went door to door collecting gold and silver, and I said this was like expert level trick or treating. And I was like, this is literally the most harmless. Like, this is like, some of them, I think is what you're referring to, Michael. Sometimes you set it up and you like, I don't know about you guys, I guess. I won't put that on you. I babysit it a little bit. And I'm like, I don't know. We're going to have to see which way the wind goes on this one, because it could go one way or the other. But that one, I like threw it out and then went and did something else and was like, whatever. It's literally trick-or-treating. Everyone's on the page with that, right? And you come back and you're like, how dare you associate the word of God with Halloween? This is not... My favorite comment I get is, this is not what this verse means. Because I'm always like...
It's like, well, yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's the joke.
You're telling me that the ancient Israelites were not referring to trick-or-treating? Hold up.
Oh, shoot.
I love that, though, man. That's a lot of good stuff you guys said. And Michael, you said earlier, like, these are, like... image bearers of God. Like, every single person you're dealing with is an image bearer of God. It's fascinating to me you guys brought up vaccines too, because it's like I'm surrounded by people that are on both sides of that one. And it's like, I know, Matt, you've one kid, right, Matt? Can I say that on here? Should I not have said that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All good.
And so, like, that's one thing with me is like, there's a lot of vaccine memes out there. There always has been. This is like, now it's super hot because of COVID, but like, it's always been a thing. And I'm always like, these are parents like trying to do the best thing by their kids at the end of the day. Like, there's not a parent out there that's like, I don't want anything good for my kid. That's why I'm making these choices. So I always like, that's so good. And that's, I hope everyone listening hears that. Like, when you deal with people on the internet, like, these are human beings. These are image bearers of God. There might be ideas on there that you disagree with, but you have to keep that in your mind the whole time. And I think that's where I've seen Christians get way off track when I see dealings, is it's like, you've forgotten that there's like humans behind this whole thing. Like, you've completely lost sight of that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all, I want to say... thank you for coming on the podcast. I was checking to see if I had another question.
Like, what's he about to say? Like, that pause was so dramatic, dude. I was about to pee my pants. Why was that so dramatic?
It was a very dramatic pause. I apologize. It sounded
like you were going to tell us something. Like, dude, are you okay?
Well,
do you need help?
I brought you here today.
Blink once for yes.
Guts here today. The people at home, though, they need to know. Well, a couple of things for the people at home. PD and Shama are the team behind Deuteronomy memes. I want to update you on that. For the Epic a couple times. That's Epic Jesus memes. But the one that I'm, you know,
Epic
I think
Christian
the,
memes.
Epic. Oh, I am embarrassed.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry, Epic. Okay, I did. Oh, man, it just all came back to me. I'm sorry. I'm almost done here. A couple of things. You guys have over 300,000 followers on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Is that not wild to you?
No, because we have 550 on Facebook.
That is so many people. Like, that's like football stadiums full of people that follow you guys on the internet. Does that ever just like, does that number ever do anything to you?
I wish it would give me more money.
the end goal is to get more money.
It's kind of just a number. I mean, like, obviously every one of those represents, well, a majority of those represent people, which is cool that we have just such a unique opportunity to be able to like share jokes about like Christian culture, but then also like sample like bits of the gospel and like throw in like Bible stories and stuff that will get people interested in picking up the Bible and being like, yeah. Oh, I didn't know this was in there. And that's always just such a fun, unique opportunity. And obviously like it's such a huge blessing from God that we've been able to like have that put in our laps, and we want to take that seriously, and use that gift that he has given us, to the best of our abilities. And not waste it. But the numbers, I mean, it's just such a cool thing. And we always like Matt and I, anytime Instagram goes up by 1,000, we will message the number. We're like 306 with like a heart emoji, and Facebook, it just, you know, it does its own thing. We don't really, unless it's like a significant, like 50,000, like every 50,000 or whatever.
Right.
But Instagram's what we've really been pushing because there's just such a unique community on Instagram, whereas Facebook is a lot of like more of just the angry people. And it's kind of like a wild card. Instagram is much more of like the community that we have. So we get
more
excited
people see the content.
People are joining the community there.
Yeah, more people see the content on Instagram too. I think the algorithm's more set for memes than Facebook. But yeah, just to go off of what Mike was saying, I think we have like this unspoken rule that we want Christianity to be, you know, be fun, which it is. It's enjoyable. It's funny. There's lots, you know, because a lot of Christianity, it can be viewed as, you know, ho-hum or just rigid and, you know, not able to be laughed at. You know, we don't laugh at ourselves. And that's I think, our main motivation is so that we laugh at ourselves.
Yeah.
And also portray, you know, the Bible in a way that's respectful and also funny and educational sometimes and wholesome. And
you just said the Bible is funny.
Yeah. That was I was trying
the
to
the name of the podcast.
I wasn't going to say it.
I was trying to throw it in, you know what I'm saying? That was a little little plus.
Cool. Now go share my content. Anyway, it was so great.
We got you, bro. Trust me,
we got you, bro.
We got
to share a meme.
So great.
Well, we got you, bro.
This is the last line of question was ending in this. So when you have that, you have this is who you guys are on the internet. Do you have this like superhero feeling about your regular life that like there's this thing that nobody knows about you that like, or not nobody, I'm sure people do, but like most people you interact with,
man.
They like, they don't know that you are.
That meme.
The meme. I shared a meme on my Instagram story a few days ago that it's like that template of like the kids standing awkwardly
on the corner of the party.
At a party. Yeah.
They don't know.
And
they don't know I'm a meme lord.
Oh my gosh. It's just the kid and he's standing there. It says, they don't know I'm a mildly popular Instagram account. The camera's not showing it. But, oh my gosh. And he's wearing like a party hat and like the other people at the party are like dancing and partying. And he's just standing in the corner.
Angrily
like,
standing
they
in the
don't
corner.
Know I'm a mildly popular Instagram account.
But then you walk over and you put something into trash and they're like, oh, that's the guy.
Yes. Wait, do that again.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Mike like poses like that in malls.
Just wait.
in front of waste bins. He's just like, wait a minute. I know that guy. Dude, I know that guy.
Where have I seen him?
Where have I seen that?
Then he gets chased out of the mall by a mob of angry fans.
Sign my trash can.
Sign my trash. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming on the Bible is Funny podcast. You really are fantastic. I would be remiss if I let this all go without saying there's no way that the Bible is Funny is where it is today if it weren't for I joked several times. But there's no way it's where it is today without the support of Memes for Jesus. From early on, I think from before Matt even came on board, Michael was a supporter. Just solid dudes. Solid dudes. Very happy to know you guys. Happy to have you guys as ambassadors for Christianity on the internet. So keep up the great work, and we'll have to have you on the podcast again sometime.
Yeah, for sure. Please. This was a lot of fun.
All right, y'all. Well, thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, like and subscribe. Leave a review on the podcast. That's the biggest thing. Go leave a review. Talk about how funny Michael and Matt were, honestly. If that's your feedback, you can leave it on the review for the podcast. And it'll stay there for forever. So whoever you thought was funny on this, talk about that person.
Pijama.
Pijama always comes back to them. Follow along on Instagram if you're not already at The Bible is Funny, and we'll be back again with another podcast really soon.
The Bible.